And welcome to Anime Talk. I am Joe. It's Tuesday night. It's 11 o'clock Eastern. Thank you for coming and join us. We always appreciate the audience. Happy Tuesday. Anything else?
Oh, I can talk now?
Sure, you can always talk.
Yes, I'm allowed to talk. Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Aeroblip again.
We're back as always. We kind of miss you. So, you only took a week break.
When?
What, 2 weeks ago or right around Christmas? It was only a week.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Hey, you can find us on Twitter at JoeAnimator or at Aeroblip. If you want to chat with us during the show, use the social app to the right-hand side of the stream. You can always tag us any which way or how. We'll get to your questions, comments at the end of the show. We always appreciate the feedback you guys give us, so keep using those methods.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're in the third week of the winter anime season. And to be quite honest, it's kind of slow, Aeroblip.
Well, winter seasons are usually like this. Based on, what, 1 year of experience? 2 years of experience?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more concerned about the cold outside. Yeah. I don't know about you.
But yeah, like, we're staying right around 32 degrees. I'm waiting for summer already.
Oh, fuck you, dude. Seriously? Oh, no, here's the thing. I had to walk to my class today, right?
Okay.
-7 degrees Fahrenheit. That doesn't include wind chill.
That sucks.
Yeah, let's talk about anime. I'm pissed.
Yeah, so as you just mentioned, it is one of our... Actually, he was a regular guest for a while, Min at Metanorn. It's his birthday. Everybody wish him a happy birthday. You can see his Twitter handle there in the social chat. Go and say hi. Wish him a happy birthday.
You're welcome.
He's the big 4-0. I don't know how old he is. I'm just making a joke. But go wish him a happy birthday.
Yep.
You know what's funny is his Skype handle had him, his birthday is on Sunday, so I wished him happy birthday, and he's like, you're like 3 days early, man. So I felt pretty embarrassed, but he's the one who put it in Skype wrong, not me.
Nice.
So, our first big news subject for the day. So, the creator of Sword Art Online and Excel World is coming to SakuraCon.
Yay!
So, the man you love to hate because he's filthy rich, he has two anime that sell lots of Blu-rays, and he has... He's what, our age? He's probably under 30 still, because he wrote all the stuff when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yep, he's coming to SakuraCon as part of a big Sword Art Online theme for SakuraCon. There's going to be a big section cornered off for that.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like... what's that?
I mean, who else is going to be there? Because I know there's a bunch of Sword Art Online staff, right?
Yes. So, as I understand it, they're calling it the Sword Art Online Mega Pack. So, the guest lineup includes a concert by Lisa.
Okay.
It includes some of the artists who also performed themes for the series. And Aniplex of America is bringing over the Lisa Sword Art Online single, Crossing Field. So, she's going to probably sing that song, it sounds like, from what I understand from the news release.
Yeah. You know what? I'm kind of not surprised by this. I mean, so Aniplex of America, they had this huge holding for... essentially Fate Zero during the, what was it, Anime Expo 2012, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, I'm not surprised that, like, you have this big franchise, it's selling really well, we'll go into that later, but it's selling really well in Japan. So, of course, Aniplex of America, all six people are just going to just pour all of our effort in to make sure that this sells as well.
Yeah, so, not really surprising, SakuraCon, Seattle has a large Japanese population. Easily accessible. It does not surprise me that he's coming there for a live introduction.
Yeah, but how big is SakuraCon? I'm not really familiar.
As a con, as I understand it, it's pretty small.
Well, I mean, as far as the West Coast, because I know that usually Anime Expo is the big one. That's like the big one.
Well,
in
comparison to Anime Expo, everything's small.
That's true.
I would say SakuraCon is probably the biggest thing in the Northwest, but by comparison, it's probably not very big. It takes place in the Trade Center in downtown Seattle. But I don't think they occupy much of it.
Oh, that's cool.
I think the Penny Arcade Expo was much bigger.
Well, no shit, that's PAX.
I know. I'm just saying, by comparison, even smaller even compared to that. So.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because I remember Boston Annie. They claim that they're the big convention on the East Coast. Well, I think second to Otakon. Mm-hmm. But like every single year, they've always had it at the same exact time as PAX East. And so, like, I'm pretty sure, like, everyone would go to PAX East and not many people would go to Anime or Boston Annie. So it's, like, it's fun. So when you go to Boston, you should just see a bunch of cosplayers and all that stuff. But whenever you talk to them, most likely they're actually going to go to PAX East.
Oh, that's funny.
I think they fixed it this year, though. But, yeah.
So as someone who lives near the Seattle area, or at least close enough to go, it might be funny enough for me to drop in and go take the kids and go to SoccerCon. They get in for half price. Actually, one of my kids gets in for free. I just got to register a ticket. So I just got to pay for myself and a half price for one of the older ones, and we can go to SoccerCon. So, yeah, might be worth it.
Yeah. Don't buy anything there.
No, I'm not. Well, other than maybe some manga or something like that, I probably won't buy anything. If they have the Bunny Drop DVD, I will probably be forced to buy that simply because my daughter adores that show.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's just that I've always thought that, or at least what I've been told, is that usually whatever they sell at conventions, it's always much more expensive. So you're better off just like if you see something and you like it, like just remember that company and then just buy their stuff online as opposed to buying it at the convention. That's what I've been told, though.
Yeah, true. But when you look into a little 4-year-old girl's eyes and she's got a 5-year-old girl's eyes and she's got that panting look, it's hard. Dude, just wait till you're old enough and have
to tell her that you're saving that money for college.
Yeah, true.
Then 20 years from now, then she'll totally be on her knees thanking you.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah. If you're in the greater Northwest area and you want to go to a con, this may be a good one to go to. That now that there's a keynote item to really go see.
Yeah, who knows? If you run into Joe there, you might do a live show.
True, I can do Ustream from my phone.
Yeah, it's gonna be shitty quality though.
Yeah, well, the internet there will suck. Plus, the cell tower will probably crash, but that's a whole other story. So, we have a big announcement from Aniplex. Nisei and Oriimo are getting Blu-ray releases here in the United States.
Yay!
Woo-hoo. Now, I found this to be a little interesting. So, the Nisei Blu-ray box set is priced at $150 for the 11-episode series.
Okay.
The My Little Sister Can't Be This Annoying is getting priced at $330 for the 16-episode series. So I'm guessing that's the series plus 4 OVAs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to price that out per episode, it's $13.50 for Nisei and $20.50 for My Little Sister.
Now, if I remember correctly, the Nisei box pack, it also comes with art books, does it not?
I believe it does.
So that's a little extra something right there. What does Oriimo come with?
Oh, that comes with a whole bunch of stuff, too. You know, I can look at a specific list here while you talk.
Okay.
I'll pull it up.
So, yeah. I mean, if you guys actually like Nisei Monogatari, I would, you know, I recommend buying this. I personally would not buy these things. So
My Little Sister comes with all 16 episodes on 4 discs, a 4-panel digipack. So it looks like it's a 4-coma kind of thing. It comes with a PET clear sleeve case and a picture label. And it also comes with commentary on the video. While the Nisei comes out with all episodes on Blu-ray, 3 cases with rigid box, double-sided Blu-ray case wraps, a deluxe booklet, textless openings and endings, and a trailers collection.
Trailers collection?
Oh. Yep. So I don't know what that means exactly.
Wow. You know, I don't think I would buy these. As much as I love Nisei Gatari, I don't think I can actually, you know, fork over that much money. I want to, but I don't think I can.
I think the Nisei is a better deal price per episode and for what you get, too. It seems like it's a more complete package of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. It's just that that's still a steep drop, though. Like, you're throwing down $150. Like, you throw down twice as much and you get an Xbox 360, probably with 2 games as well.
That's true.
Like, yeah.
There's no way I'd pay $330 for a Blu-ray box set.
Yeah.
Heck, I bought the entire set for, you know, things like Band of Brothers. I like Band of Brothers. I like the book. I enjoyed the HBO series. I bought that entire thing for $50.
Yeah.
There's just as much content in that as there is in that 16-episode anime. And they want 6 times the price.
Yeah, but you know, that's the problem. Like, anime is not cheap to make. And it's not a very big market, so we're stuck with these high price points.
And it feels like they're compensating for – it's one of those things where the supply-demand, right? Low demand, medium supply, so they're just going to shoot it through the roof and charge you an obscene amount of money.
Exactly. Yep. Can't get mad at that. I mean, let's see what happens. Because, you know, these prices usually drop over time. So, like, I mean, because, like, what box sets on Amazon now for, like, very old series, they're nowhere near the $150 mark.
No, but if you look, it looks like the pre-order sale price takes about $30 off the Nisei, so you're down to $120.
Yeah,
which makes it even more of a price point. The other ones too. Well, they're taking $50 off the initial sale, so it's just under $300.
Yeah. So the one thing that worries me, or actually two things, look, because Ben brought that up. Happy birthday. One is that there's a lot of signs and text box. Like, there's a lot of signs going on in the Nisei Monogatari, or actually in anything shop related. So I'm always curious as to how Aniplex USA always deals with the typesetting and that kind of stuff, and that, like, those translations, because that's where, like, what, a quarter of the jokes come from. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why I usually go to subgroups for these kinds of things, just because of the fact that, like, you know, it's part of the joke. Like, you, like, and they translate it, so that's key. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that he, which Min mentions, is the actual commentaries for it. Because yeah. I know the Nisei, like, if you go through legal means, like, they actually, I think they translate those. But,
see, I mean, if they're not publishing that there's any character commentary in the Nisei box set.
I thought it was, wait, really?
The My Little Sister has commentary tracks. It's listed there. It's not listed under Nisei.
Oh, because I know in the Japanese discs, like, those have the comments. Oh, that's kind of...
It's not explicitly listed, at least let me...
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is that, like, from what I read, the others. I know, it's just a little kind of eyebrow rising.
Languages, oh. Oh, it's only Japanese... Yeah, it's not dubbed, it's only subbed.
For Nisei?
For Nisei.
It better be only subbed, shit.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I don't mind subs, but there is no mention of character commentary. While okay. Under the Oriemo, yes. Character commentary video included for all 16 episodes.
Wait, is Oriemo dubbed?
Nope, only subbed.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that. God, I just hope...
Yeah,
I mean...
so it includes all 12 TV episodes on two DVD discs. Okay. Well, that's the DVD set, which is only $45. Wow, that's a huge markup for Blu-ray. Holy shit.
Wow.
So yeah, here's a side note for you. It's an extra $230 to get it on a...
But it's nice though. Like it's nice.
So what's the Nisei? Nisei is only coming out on Blu-ray in this release.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the sales are in Blu-rays. Not to mention that's where most of them, like, sunk costs are at. Is in, like, Blu-ray production.
I know.
Oh well.
Interesting enough. All right. Let's move on to the next topic.
Subs greater than dubs. Move on.
Dude, we could sit here and just flame war about that for ages. Oh my gosh. Okay, Vivid Red, Operation Episode 1. Did you watch it?
Yes.
It's affectionately known as the Loli Butt episode.
I mean, this is the Loli Butt series. Like.
So it got a 3.7 TV rating. So some of you say, what does that mean?
Yes. What does
so
that mean?
Let's compare that to an American television show. I know not everybody who is watching with us watches American television, but have you guys ever seen NCIS or The Big Bang Theory? Or maybe Elementary or Person of Interest.
Yeah, CBS.
CBS shows. Some of the popular CBS shows. All of those shows had a Nielsen rating of between 5.2 and 7.
Percent.
Now, percent. Yeah, I don't know if that's a percent or that's just the rating. I'll just leave it as a rating. I don't know if it's truly a percent. I don't know how Nielsen works exactly. I'm not going to go there. So, but all those shows air between 8 and 11 p.m. primetime slots. Monday through Thursday, not even Friday. So those are prime TV channel slots, and they're only getting a 5 to 7. Vivid Red airs at 2 a.m. or 1:55, I think is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. 2 a.m. on like a Tuesday or something stupid. No, on a Thursday morning or Friday morning. Friday morning, Thursday. They call it Thursday night, but it's actually 2 a.m. Friday morning.
Yeah.
And it got a 3.7.
That's pretty big.
That's pretty big.
Now, just for more perspective, if I remember correctly, like, my memory's kind of fuzzy, I'm sorry, but I believe ANN had an article saying that Madoka premiered at, what was it, like, 2.4%?
Something like
around
that.
Around that same time slot? Yeah. Yeah, that same time slot, but it was 2.4%.
Okay. So let's compare this to college football on a Saturday morning.
Okay.
Texas versus Oregon State only drew a 4.1 on ESPN.
Okay.
So you got to think, that's quite a big crowd at 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people at 2 a.m.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, though, like, the creators of Operation Vivid Red, or is it Vivid Red Operation? Vivid Red Operation, I'm sorry. It's essentially the same creators as Strike Witches. And Strike Witches is huge in Japan. Like, ridiculously big. Like, you know, some people complain about the whole circle jerk of Twitter and bloggers and whatnot. Like, people think that, oh, you know, Bakemonogatari Monogatari is big, or, I don't know, some Kyoto Annie show is big. Like, Strike Witches is ridiculously huge over there.
It's otaku bait.
I mean, I watched it for the planes.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Oh, shut up. You know what? I'm shut up. This, okay. Random tangent. Episode 2 was pretty awesome in the fact that that's the closest I'll ever get to an Ace Combat anime.
That's true. I mean, they actually did some coordination between the quote-unquote magical girls and the fighter pods. Interesting enough. Yeah. There were 30 seconds there I found intriguing. The rest of it was pretty...
Well, I mean, first of all, the tactics were pretty fucking stupid. Like, oh, let's send in the F-22s head-on into an unknown enemy and then just get them blown the fuck up. That's retarded.
Pretty much.
So, yeah. But here's my wish, is the fact that, you know, A1 Pictures is using this as, like, a test for an Ace Combat anime. Because those were, like, 3D rendered model. Or I'm pretty sure that was not 3D. CG, sorry. That was CG of those airplanes, the F-22 Raptor and the F-35 Lightning II. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty detailed. Like, I mean, I've looked at it, and, you know, I recognize the panels, the trims, and that kind of stuff. That's what I do. And that was a pretty accurate...
All right, so back to what you were saying. Hopefully we get our World War II fighter airplane anime.
I think I'm back. Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
You're back.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do this. All right, so now that we're through our technical difficulties, next up, Blu-ray sales. So we're talking about how popular things are post-airing. So these numbers we thought were a little interesting.
Yep.
Case in point.
Okay.
Shutokoi. 12,000 discs or 12,000 packages, whatever you want to count it as, sold units. in its first week of release.
Yep.
That's a big number.
Not even first week. That was 4 days.
True, because this ended on the 20th.
It's January 14th through the 20th, yeah.
Shoot, it started on the 16th, yeah. That's a lot of frickin' sales.
I know.
Compared to something like Sword Art Online, well, that's volume 3.
Yeah.
By comparison, it has sold 28,000. So that's... I'll take that as a very positive number.
What, for Sword Art Online or for Chunibyo?
For Chuni.
Oh, okay.
That's not a bad deal.
I mean, it's not.
All those haters out there can go suck it. But the one that I enjoy the most, if we look at number 8 there at the bottom.
Yes.
Volume 1, almost 20,000 sales.
Now, I'm pretty sure that it probably passed that 20,000 by now. By this very moment, it probably passed 20,000.
True. True. But I'm just saying, that's a good number, good strong sales, indicates there could be it someday, a season 2.
Yep. I mean, unless they don't like making money, or the fact that I think they have to wait for the manga to catch up, or to keep progressing.
Probably. So maybe next year.
Perhaps. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year they at least announce a new Girls in Panzer anime. At the very least, like, announce it. But yeah, I mean, these are very great numbers.
I agree. Oh. I'm just looking through this other one. I find it funny that K is kind of just hanging out there.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
No, I'm not disappointed at all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny because I figured that Jin Rui would much have higher sales. I mean, I understand it's volume 5. But it seems like it's struggling quite a bit. It seemed like, you know, it was a lot more popular overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have mixed reservations about that show. I think it had its very high points and had some very low points.
Well, I'm pretty sure Volume 5 is around when it goes back to its high points again, because that's, like, towards the end of the series.
Yeah, yeah.
I just need to clarify one thing. For some reason, I couldn't find the sales numbers for Neko Monogatari Black. So, oh. I'm kind of curious as to, like, what those were selling at.
Well, it has that would be on the pre-sales list right now, wouldn't it?
Oh, it hasn't even came out yet?
I don't think so.
I thought it was supposed to come out that week, but, I mean, if it hasn't, then okay.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
On to our next segment, Mr. Blip.
Okay.
I don't think we animated this, so it's just going to be all up at once. You ready?
Let's do it.
We're playing over-under. Oh, no, this is our previous over-under. You did...
Yeah, that one I did animate. I definitely did animate.
So, we said... We gave an over-under guess on Monster-kun.
Let's take a step back. So, for those who don't know, over-under was a game that we started in the last season. Mm-hmm. The idea is that we take these four shows and we predict what the MAL scores would be essentially after the series finished airing. So, yes. These four shows, Tonari, Magi, Jormungand Perfect Order, and then Tsukite. So the scores at the top are what we predicted whether the eventual MAL score would be over or under. So let's look at the results, shall we?
Tonari actually went up. Only a tenth of a point, which isn't hugely significant, but it did go up.
Yeah, which means that I'm correct. Thank you.
Yes. I found it, I'm not surprised, but I didn't think it would, I don't know. I didn't think it was that good. I watched the first episode, didn't watch much beyond that. I didn't think it was that great, but apparently it's popular. But it is shoujo. It is shoujo. So.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you get a lot of shoujo bait.
I mean, I feel like it's, okay, let me just clarify something. It's shoujo, but I don't think it's like the traditional shoujo. Like Tsukite is like the traditional shoujo where it's very slow in the pacing. This one, I mean, the developments, granted, it was very back and forth, like between the main character and her boyfriend or whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. But like, at least it gave the sense that it was progressing quite quickly. And not to mention the zany comedy in itself does kind of bring in other people in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Magi, we can't rate yet because it's not over with.
Yeah, we have to wait for that one to finish, guys. I'm sorry.
Yep. Go away.
Yeah.
We both guessed right on this that Jormungand would go down. And it went down significantly. That's almost 0.4 of a point.
Well, I mean, these predictions weren't based on current mouse scores, or current or whatever you want to define as current. This was just based on trends. Yep. So, yeah.
But I'm not surprised. As that series finished, it kind of just dwaddled out.
Yeah, so I think that final arc, it started off great, but then those last two episodes were kind of a downer. Yeah, kind of just, it left a very bad taste in my mouth, and probably in a lot of mouths of the viewers out there.
Oh yeah, enough to bring it down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tsukite actually went up and hit a nice even 7.75, or right around 7.75, which, seeing how Tonari was, that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it wouldn't hang much more above 7.5, but it actually went up.
Yeah.
Interesting enough. Not really a surprise, but not really caring either.
Did you watch the show? Because I actually didn't finish it.
I managed to finish it. It was dry to the end.
Okay. Well, I'm not really sure what this says about Mal and its taste, but yeah.
That's all it says. So we're going to do over-under for this season.
Okay. Well, this is the first over-under of the season. We might do another one later on.
True, true, true. First over-under. So here we go. Did you... Oh, something's a mess.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry. Let's keep going. Let's just keep going.
We'll add them all in and just have them sitting there. So we're going to go over-under on my girlfriend and my best friend are fighting over me. 7.5. You're saying...
Oh,
huh?
Nothing. They eventually came in.
Oh, yeah. I popped him in there. So you're saying under, I'm saying over. Why do you think it'll be less than 7.5?
Okay, after realizing the scores from the last time we did over-under, I'm kind of nervous about this, but I'm going to stick true to my guns. This show really doesn't do anything, to be honest. Like, it tries to be cute, but I'm not really getting the cute vibes. It tries to be funny, but I'm not really finding it to be funny. And when the lead girl is kind of a bitch, it makes you... Oh, I'm sorry, I consider her a bitch. Like, she's straight up bullying the other character. But, like, it's... I don't know. Like, I don't see this comedy harm going really far. To be honest, I watch the comedy harms, but I don't see this one going far at all.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say, if anything, it would probably be, like, a 7.2, which is not a bad score, but, you know.
I'm thinking it's going to stay right just above 7.5, like 7.6, 7.7, nothing more than that.
Okay.
And then the next one we've got is Demon King and Hero.
Mm-hmm.
We're guessing 7.9 is the over-under mark. You're saying down again. I'm saying up. The reason I'm saying up, I think it's going to hover right around the even 8. I don't think it's going to be much more than an 8.
That's true.
That's where so 7.9 I think is right below where I think it's going to end up, but not mm-hmm. much more.
Yeah.
And you're saying down. How far down do you think it'll go?
It's barely going to miss the mark. So if anything, I'd say like a 7.85.
So this may end up being a push, really.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be right around there. 7.9, between 7, like you said, 7.85, 7.95, I think it's going to be right there. It's going to be a push.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's my reasoning, is that, okay, if you look at the first season of Spice and Wolf, that got an 8.3 on Mal. And while the economics was interesting, I think people were more tied to that because of the romance. And the problem is that a lot of people are still making those comparisons that Mal Yu is like Spice and Wolf. Like, you know, essentially, small tits and Spice of Wolf, microeconomics. You got big tits and Mal Yu, got macroeconomics. Like, a lot of people are still making those comparisons. And to be honest, I think it's unfair of the series. And I think that in my personal book, Mal Yu, at the rate it's going, it could end up an 8 or 9. It could. So it just depends on exactly you know, how people are going to compare it. And I think that's constantly going to bring it down.
Doing that Mal comparison, Mal has terrible taste, as we keep discussing. People are going to keep comparing this to Spice and Wolf, which they're two different things. Spice and Wolf is a character-driven show about economics, where Mayu is an economic show that has characters.
Yes.
The characters all have generic names. They don't actually have real names.
They have titles.
They have titles, which is completely weird for Japanese stuff. So the girl in the convent, her name is actually Female Knight. He is Hero. She is Demon King. You have Chief Maid. Nobody has a formal name. So yeah, it's a whole different thing. It's a show about economics and politics and religion that has characters.
Yeah.
Completely different thing. And people keep comparing it to Spice and Wolf. Whatever. Go blow your horn. I don't care anymore. You're not going to convince me.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're clear and that everyone in the audience is clear. I'm not saying the show is bad. I'm just saying that I think people are getting the wrong... I think they're misinterpreting the objective of the show.
Yes.
And I think that's what's going to hamper their scores.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Next up is Salami-san.
Go fuck yourself.
Salami-san at Gan ba 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 ba. Okay. We set the over-under mark at 7.75. This show is no Madoka. I'm taking it to go down.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I think it's going to get more weird and more odd, and it's just not as endearing at this point. Two episodes in, it's not as endearing as other shows.
Perhaps. So the reason why I'm going to say it's going to go over 7.75 is simply for the fact that this series, I feel like, still has an ace or two up its sleeve. Like, it does already have it already has an unusual, if not controversial, storytelling style. And the visuals itself aren't going to sell the show. But what I think I feel like there's something in that story. Like, we're getting little hints of something happening. But I feel like something big's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, episode 3 of Madoka where mommy dies. Spoilers. But I think that there's going to be some big revelations coming up, and that's going to definitely sway some of the viewers.
Well, but the way they handled the biggest revelation in the first two episodes was terrible. That whole intro dialogue was handled so poorly.
I mean, the intro dialogue, if anything, was just a recap. Like, it didn't provide that much new information.
Well, it explained why the world turned to chocolate, why the whole deity order and everything.
Well,
else.
I mean, but you can infer that from the first episode. There was
not really.
Yeah, yes, you can. Like, no. I mean, that's what I got. You know, maybe Mal.
So you knew without reading anything that first episode that he was some. So there's a deity living inside of him, and all the sub deities were worshiping him.
I didn't know that there was a deity inside him, but what I did infer was the fact that he talked about the world turning to chocolate, and then the world turned to chocolate. Like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of like, oh, hey, this is pretty obvious. Like, that didn't come onto you like that.
All right. I guess for me, no, it could have been anything. It could have been a dream. It could have been – there was no clear cut. Okay, whatever. All right. I'll leave it at that. I didn't think it was as clear cut as you think it was.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to stay at 7.75. I think it's going to slide down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think people are – I think people are just going to shrug their shoulders at some point and not give it. I don't think it appeals to the Mal mass, but we'll see.
Mal tries to be hipster, and
it's not. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Last on our list is Kurosagi and the Problem Children. We got the over-under sitting at 8.
Yeah.
That's pretty high. That's the highest over-under we've got on the list.
There's a reason why I did that one. So if you actually look at it, if you look at the current Mal score, it's actually set at 7.89. I don't usually trust the Mal scores, especially when a series isn't done yet. But still, though, that's kind of high after two episodes. So that's why I kind of, you know, let's toy around and see what 8. I think it can.
I think 7.9 is a reasonable value for this show.
7.9?
Yeah, so I think it's going to stay right around 7.9. If that's where it's at right now, I don't think it's going to change. I don't think it'll peak over 8 when it's all said and done.
I mean, if anything, it might just end up like Mayu and end up like a push. Because I'm expecting this to at least, you know, pass 8.0. Like, if anything, it's probably going to be like 8.15, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much higher than 8.
Okay.
So I mean, maybe another one we're looking at. How do you get mad at this series, though? It's Dog Days. Like,
I don't think anybody's mad at it. I watch it. It's, my daughter thinks it's hilarious. She wants to watch the show with the bunny girl.
Yes.
So it has an appeal to 5-year-old girls.
I just actually like the two female characters who just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I like the problem children are actually funnier than anything else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay, I can agree on a push for that one.
Okay. Oh, man. That show is awesome.
You know what? We're at our final thoughts, Aeroblip.
So fast.
I know.
I mean, especially after, what, that 5-minute technical difficulty?
Yeah, where you decided that your internet, you'd get mad at your internet.
Hey, don't blame me. Blame Xfinity.
Yeah.
They suck.
Isn't that a Verizon-based service?
I don't even know anymore.
So, what have you just, have you decided to drop anything yet in your watch list?
Drop shows? Let's see. No, not really. I'm still going along. Like, it's a good season. I don't understand why the hate, to be honest. Like,
I think it's a very average season. I don't think there's not a clear cut bam winner, but I don't think anything's terrible, like outright terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm not watching a ton of stuff. I think for me, I've watched 2 episodes of Vivid Red. I'm good. I don't think I'll watch anymore.
I want there to be more planes. I honestly do.
Well, you're gonna get 2 more girls.
Yeah.
Yellow, I mean, green.
Yeah, yellow, green, of course.
We were joking, like, I think, about how every girl's name's associated with their color and order. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, it's,
I thought that was the
obvious
point.
Yeah, it is. But anyways.
Yeah. I mean, oh, man, like, if you the setting is perfect, too, because, like, so the engine itself is, on, like, on this island, right? And there's a lot of sea, and clearly the military can't do this, so I'm hoping that there's just going to be, like, it's going to be like Strike Witches, but like in the fighting styles of like Evangelion, where you just have like a bunch of like naval support, and then you're going to get your air support, but it's mainly just going to be about the girls, the witches, whatever you want to call them, like fighting these things. I really hope that's what it is, because I need more planes.
Arrow needs his plane fix.
Yeah. I mean, if I can get a gun fix and a tank fix, like how hard is it to get like a plane fix?
I'll give you that.
Okay. Oh, but yeah, final thoughts. One last thing. Let's see.
I was really surprised at how popular Kurosagi is.
Oh, okay.
Just in general, I didn't think it would be that popular a show, and it seems to be a real hit magnet. You know what I mean? People seem to really want to talk about it, search for it, etc., which kind of surprised me.
The funny thing is that like it wasn't like that initially. So when the first episode came out, I felt like I was the only person talking about it.
See, you'd be surprised. I thought that show had more traffic than anything I'd seen going around.
Oh, man. Well, you can blame all that one on me, because I made the show popular, clearly. I mean, because what, we have, what, like thousands of viewers for an anime audio log. They all listen to me. They all follow my word. And clearly, I'm always right, you know?
I wish, man. One of these days, we'll have 1,000 viewers.
I mean, if you rack up all the episodes, maybe. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So what else? Final thoughts?
Oh, I posted this article link. Y'all should read it. So you're probably asking yourself, how is this related to anime? Well, let me tell you why. I'm assuming most of you guys out there are, you know, either in college or just getting out of college. So I'd say 21 to 28, right? Let's throw that out there. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to get with this girl, right? So say there's this girl, hot girl, other side of the class, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, Coke bottle body. Really nice. You want that, right? But you're not going to get that because she's too busy fucking the quarterback. And say, what about the older guys, like the 27, 28-year-olds? You know, there's probably this one friend of a friend at a workplace, right? You know, she's probably the secretary in finance, but she's probably fucking your manager. So you're not going to get that either. So what I'm saying is that all of you out there, if you're still trying to find a girl, don't go down. Go up. Go for the older girls. Go for the mature ones.
Was this the article you were bragging about earlier today?
Oh, damn right I was bragging about it earlier today, because it's fucking magnificent. It's a little play on stats with, like, what is it, OkCupid, but you know what? It's still a great read. It's a fun read, too. And, you know, personally, I like older women. Just going to throw that out there if anyone's a fan. But, yeah. So, yeah.
Aaron wants to be some cougar's pet.
Maybe.
A pet for a cougar.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is that, like, now, again, going back full circle, you're not going to get those women. So go older. They're more accepting of you, especially and your hobbies. And not to mention, you know, they could probably teach you a thing or two.
They got experience.
Yeah. They'll do much more than what your pillow can do now. Let's just say that.
Oh, you're Daikamura, huh?
I don't have one.
I don't either. I have a wife.
You have a wife, but like,
I'm good to go. All right, man. So thanks, everybody, for watching. You can find this and other Aeroblipisms at animeaudiolog.wordpress.com. You can find us on Twitter at animeaudiolog. You can also find me and Aeroblip on Twitter if you so choose to stalk us. Podcast feeds are on iTunes. This stuff gets posted to YouTube. It's also saved to the Ustream channel. If you're interested in becoming a co-host or... Aeroblip, you've got me completely sidetracked now. Co-host or other sort of guest on the show, joeanimated@gmail.com is the place to search me out. Next week I'm out of town, Aeroblip, so you're going to have a special co-host we'll have to announce later.
Ah, fuck, that's right.
So stay tuned next week for a special, special co-host to join Aeroblip while I go tackle the world's problems in the great state of New York.
Yeah. Oh, personal plug. Yeah, that's right. I also do a Friday Anime Podcast. If you guys don't check that out, it's kivu.dasaku.net. I don't know. Oh. You could probably find you'll find a link somewhere. Point is, Friday Anime Podcast, it's usually a group of four of us. Grab a cold beer, you drink, relax, we talk anime. Very, you know, don't have to worry about the live setting. I'll edit it to make you sound awesome. Great, fun times, fun times.
Yeah, less technical difficulties. We forgot to answer a special question. I actually have an answer for that question. So,
which anime character best represents
Peyton Manning when he throws, what, an interception or makes a mistake?
Throws a pick.
My answer to that is the fat kid from Excel World. Haruyuki, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yes. That's who, to me, the look on his face completely sums up Peyton Manning when he throws a pick.
I see. See, if anything, I don't know why, but like I would compare it to Muta from Space Bros.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, whenever he fucks up, like he tries to like hide his
Nani?
Anguish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Screams internally.
Yep. Those are two good ones. Yeah. So hopefully that answers the question. Oh, we got a response. Omashu best represents Peyton Manning. That's pretty harsh. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us tonight. Take it easy. We'll see you guys in a week.
Peace out.
Later.